Bienvenidos a Empresario Emprendedor, el podcast de la Cámara de Comercio Hispana de la Bahía de Tampa. Un espacio que recoge entrevistas a socios, tendencias y asuntos de interés para toda la comunidad empresarial. Presentado y dirigido por Raúl Castro. Acompáñenos en los próximos minutos.
Bienvenidos una semana más al podcast de la Cámara de Comercio Hispana de la Bahía de Tampa y una semana más tenemos a Darián Cortés. Darián, ¿por qué estamos con estas banderas aquí detrás? Cuéntame.
Porque estamos presidenciales, estamos desde Washington, estamos a todo dar. La Cámara de Comercio está en todas partes. Así que hoy tenemos una entrevista espectacular.
A punto de entrevistar a nada más y nada menos que uno de los 100 senadores de Estados Unidos, ¿no?
Senador Rick Scott, quien fue previamente el gobernador de la Florida por 8 años, durante 8 años fue el gobernador de la Florida y dejó su marca aquí. Fue un gobernador muy querido, era un gobernador del pueblo, no importó su partido, todo el mundo lo quería, todo el mundo lo admiraba porque era muy humano y desarrolló grandes proyectos para aquí, para la Florida. Estamos contentos de tenerlo.
Y bueno, vamos a preguntarle sin duda cosas acerca de la comunidad hispana, acerca de los planes que hay para este territorio aquí en Florida, acerca de cosas de interés para nuestros líderes aquí en la Bahía de Tampa, ¿no?
Sí, se le va a estar preguntando, bien importante, ¿en qué estamos ahora mismo con esta nueva norma, con todas estas propiedades a nivel corporativas, lo que sería real estate, las bienes raíces? ¿Qué va a pasar con todos estos grandes edificios donde estas grandes compañías enviaron a sus empleados a las casas y verdaderamente pudieron probar que las operaciones las podían hacer remotas? ¿Y ahora qué va a pasar? Posiblemente el real estate de empresarial baje y el de la comunidad, o sea, las casas suba, o se va a equilibrar todo. Esos son algunos de los temas, el desempleo. La situación de desempleo que hay, vamos a estar hablando sobre ello y otros temas más que añadimos, pero verdaderamente esta entrevista es espectacular.
Bueno, pues entonces, Dayan, nos vamos al Senado.
Nos vamos al Senado.
Nos vamos al Senado. Bueno, pues estamos hoy en el podcast de la Cámara de Comercio de la Hispanic Chamber of Commerce of Tampa Bay. And let me continue in English to introduce our guest today. But for that, let me ask Dayan Cortés, the president of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce of Tampa Bay, to introduce our guest.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome, everybody. Once again, as every week, we're here, and this time we're honored to have the visit of our Senator, Rick Scott. And let me give you a little bit of details. Rick Scott was elected to the U.S. Senate in 2018 and is currently serving his first term representing the state of Florida. Prior to his election to the U.S. Senate, Rick Scott served 2 terms as the 45th Governor of Florida, working every day to turn around Florida's economy and secure the state's future as the best place for families and business to succeed. And this is what we're seeing also now. That was built back then, it's now growing and becoming more powerful. Florida is the state to be. Everybody has the eyes on the state of Florida. And much of that definitely has to do with all the projects and plans and accomplishments from your administration. Now, the questions that everybody here in Florida want to ask first is, how was that transition back then from the Senate? I still remember the times of the campaigns. Everybody was so excited and supporting Rick Scott. And you made it happen. We made it happen. And now everybody's like, what's next? You know, what happened back then? How was that transition as going from governor to Senate? So the people want to hear about you.
Thank you. Gracias por la invitación. Es un placer. It's been an interesting job. This DC is not very functional. People don't get along. They've lost sight of what people around the country want. if, you know, they want to spend money up here without any idea that you're going to get a return on it. Mm-hmm. And there's not a real focus on how do you get more jobs. Up in D.C., it's very difficult trying to get people to focus on how do you build the economy, which is the most important thing you can do for a family. Number two, what can you do to actually have a result that improves education, not just, you know, I mean, up here you just throw more money at it rather than say, okay, how do I really get something done? And, you know, anything we want to do to improve our communities, the safety of our communities, it's all partisan. It's not, so it's, but everything is fixable. You just have to work hard at it every day. And if you just keep working hard at it every day, we're going to fix this economy. We're going to improve our education system. We're going to, in my opinion, we'll figure out how to reduce taxes, not grow them.
Raul, I know you have a couple of questions that you're eager to ask. Sure. And I can help also.
Thank you for the opportunity. Senator, how is the Hispanic community adding value now to this kind of new economy in Florida?
Well, just look around our state and look at the growth we've had. It really, we're an immigration state, and you know we've whether it's people from Cuba or Venezuela or Nicaragua or Brazil or Argentina or Spain. I did trips to Spain when I was governor to try to build up relationship and more trade between Spain and Florida. So I had a great trip over to Spain during my first term. Look at all these immigrants and what they've done to change our state and add this unbelievable vibrancy to our state. As Diana said, I mean, we are the vibrant state. We're the best melting pot. We're the place where you can get a great education and you can find a safe community to live in and find a great school for your children to go to. So that's why we're doing so well in Florida.
What are the main goals that we have to achieve as a community?
Well, I think one thing we've got to do is we've got to figure out how we constantly build a better economy. I grew up in a poor family. I watched my mom, we lived in public housing. I watched her struggle for jobs. Mm-hmm. My mom eventually remarried, and life's tough if your parents don't have work. And so I think the biggest thing we can always do is how do we continue to build the economy? That's number one. Number two, how do we give parents more opportunity to choose where their children go to school? Because parents are the best at choosing which school is better for them. It shouldn't be dictated by government. It should be dictated by the parents. And then three, how do we continue to make sure that we can make sure everybody gets to live in a safe community? So we need to help our law enforcement do their job all the time. Now, at the federal level, the other things we've got to do is we've got to build a military that no one wants to try to defeat us. And then we've got to do everything we can to focus on human rights and give people opportunity all over the world, like in whether it's Cuba or Nicaragua, Venezuela, or even places that are democracies, but they're always having issues we need to help them with, like Colombia.
Yeah. Senator, it's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to belong to this community. My two children have studied here. One of them has finished his studies in political science, and it's an honor to belong to this community. It's a country with opportunities, and it's an state that we receive us with open arms. So thank you for having this kind of community. Diane, it's your turn.
Sure. One of the things, of course, in terms of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and the questions that many of our members may have is what's next in terms of business and establishing here in Florida, and especially Central Florida. One of the comments that we are constantly listening is that Central Florida can become the next Silicon Valley. The growth on investment on manufacturing technology, manufacturing of medical device, pharmaceutical, and industrial. It's growing and growing. Can you provide us a little bit more of what you've heard, what is going on, what's going to happen? How can business relate to that? What may opportunities arise that perhaps we still don't know?
Well, I think the biggest success in business is always going to be our small businesses growing. Most job growth is small companies. It's not big companies. So I think the one thing we've got to do is we've got to create an environment where people can start a business easily. They can get a permit. They don't have regulation that costs them money that's unnecessary. So we got to keep their taxes low. So if we do all those things, and we're going to nurture small businesses getting started. On top of that, we can recruit companies that are from places, whether they're from outside the United States or from a high tax or high regulatory state, where these companies say, I can't compete. Now, we have an inherent advantage. We have a great education system, both at the K-12 level and the university level. On top of that, we've got the close proximity to Latin America, which is an unbelievable market and big opportunity. So I think the big thing is, make sure we don't have any taxes, any fees, any regulations that we don't need. Make sure that our permitting process is efficient and quick. And then what we're gonna continue to see is what we have in Florida. We have an unbelievable number of small businesses that are prospering and growing, and those are going to be the Fortune 500 companies in the future.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much. And it's true. I mean, there's opportunities that if within government, if there can be implemented, more companies, either Fortune 500s or smaller business, medium business, can establish and grow with incentives and opportunities. And I definitely agree on your point. Another aspect is very important is, and everybody's talking about it, not only here in Florida, but in every state, it's about unemployment. And then because of COVID, we understand, I mean, this was a massive situation that impacted every life. But the major concern is here in Florida, a lot of companies, and by the way, I have a business, a focus on staffing, and we can see a lot of people that need to work, but then companies versus employees are not matching. And many companies are saying, oh, it's because the government has been so generous on giving them benefits that they don't want to go back to work. Is that a true point? I mean, I, as an individual, more as a business owner, I am an individual who cares about my community. And I know there's people out there that lost their jobs. They didn't just resign. They lost their jobs. And what do you do in the midst of a pandemic? Leave them without food? So I trust that it was the well intent and being of providing the best for our people. So, but again, it's at some point, many companies are saying people don't want to go back to work. I don't think so. But however, I would love to hear some of your perspective on what from your perspective do you know?
Well, first off, when COVID happened, we always wanted to make sure we took care of people to the extent we could. All of us as fellow American citizens, we want to help each other. So that's number one. We need to make sure we have programs that are not permanent programs, but that are temporary programs to help people that are between jobs. We shouldn't be paying people more money not to work than to work.
And so that's
wrong. On top of that, you shouldn't be able to go on unemployment if you have a job and you just say, I don't want to keep working, I want to go on unemployment. Or if your employer has called you back and said, I do have the jobs now. And then somebody says, well, I don't really want to come back right now. That's not the way unemployment is supposed to work. So I want to make sure there's a good safety net for people that need it. I don't want to be in a position that people have the wrong incentives. Because let's be realistic. If government's going to pay you more not to work than to work, you're going to have to say to yourself, "Look, I want to provide for my family. Do I really want to go take that job?" I know. We all want to get back to our lives, our normal lives again that we were leading before COVID, where we had this great, low unemployment. But right now, we've got 8 million job openings around the country, and we got to rebuild our economy. Your federal government is running significant deficits. We have almost $30 trillion worth of debt. The only way out of this mess is to have a dramatic growth in our economy. So the only way you're going to do that is get people back to work. So that's what I'm always going to do. Make sure we have a safety net, but do everything I can to make sure people get back to work.
Amazing. Well said. Absolutely. Well said.
I agree with that, Senator. Thank you for that. Florida is a particular state with the weather to become a significant part to make the home office, no? Because you can work here with the sun, and you can go work here for another company in the north of the country. How is the regulation for that? It's becoming a new kind of work? Is something
telework
for that to help that?
Yeah, I mean, first off, it's happening. If people can work from their house or work remotely, rather than being in cold weather or high tax area or a very difficult regulatory environment, they're going to do it. And that's what's one of the reasons why Florida has done so well over the last 10 years, because we're a state that our taxes are lower regulatory environment, and faster permitting. So I think all those things are going to continue to happen. The other benefit of Florida is that people want to live in Florida because they know their children can get a great education, and they also know they can afford the university. We've got the second lowest tuition in the country. And according to U.S. News and World Report, we've got the number one higher education system in the country. And we're generally perceived to be in the top five for K-12 education. So people want to live in Florida because everybody's future is your kids or your grandkids. And so you want to be around that. And then the other thing is Florida's now, I think it's a 49-year low in our crime rate. People want to live in Florida because they know it's safe. You look at some of these other areas and you're scared to death for the citizens, what's happening there.
I do have an interesting question. We already talk about unemployment and the behaviors of some of the people in the different scenarios. Now let's talk about, so people want to work from home, that's a new norm and new style, but also at a corporate level, many banks and many Fortune 1000, Fortune 500 send employees home. And they realize, oh, we can move our operations smoothly without having so much real estate. Now, do you foresee a corporate real estate clashing while housing is booming and there's barely no inventory? May corporate level be crashing? What's next on that?
Well, there's always going to be different pressures. As you said, Diana, I mean, so many people want to move to Florida that you can see we don't have enough homes on the market. Real estate prices have come up. At the same time, there's companies that are saying, I don't need this much office space. And so they're downsizing that. But then there's other companies in Florida that you see that are growing very rapidly and they need more space. I personally like going to an office. I like being around other people. I think it creates a lot of energy. You share ideas, but there's a lot of people for a variety of reasons, because they have children or they have other parents they need to take care of. It's a lot easier for them if they work out of their house and they don't have the travel. They don't have the cost of gas and those things. So everybody's going to, I think it's going to be great. There's going to be different opportunities for people and probably different opportunities at different times in your life.
So the future looks positive, and that's what I wanted to hear. Because Florida, we're thriving, we're growing, we have beautiful beaches, we have the best of both worlds, and of course, we want the best for our economy.
I'm very happy people, very happy people.
Very happy people.
Thank you, Senator Scott. You have a lot of...
I wanted to ask him any final thoughts, any final message for the people of Florida.
Well, my job is to work every day to help every family in the state. I have 9 offices in the state. So I've got 9 offices in Florida, an office in D.C. I have a wonderful group of people I work with. They're there every day to try to say, how can I help people in Florida? So if you need something, if you have any federal issues that we can be helpful with, don't hesitate to give us a call. I was governor for 8 years, so we know a lot of people all around the state. But anything we can do to be helpful, I want Florida, every family in Florida to have the same opportunity I had, a little kid that grew up with no money, but with a wonderful mom that told me I could be anything. And that's why I want for every child in the state of Florida, and actually every child in America, I want them to have the same shot I had at the dream of this country.
We applaud you. We thank you for everything you did and for everything you've done and for everything that you will continue to do for the state of Florida. Please send our warm hug to Anne. We love her. She's amazing. And I know she's always by your side. So send her our regards. Thank you for your time. Thank you, Raul, for opening this space. Any final thoughts, Raul?
Thank you so much. I know you are a busy man, so thank you for your time and appreciate it a lot.
Looking forward to having you soon. At the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce of Tampa Bay, you're welcome. You're welcome to join us in any monthly meetings that we have and any event. You're more than welcome. This is your home.
Bye-bye. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you.